On this day in 1935, President Franklin Roosevelt signed the Social Security Act. Its goal was to give Americans a national plan for economic security when they retired. 80 years later, the Social Security Administration provides retirement and disability benefits to 60 million Americans at a cost of $850 billion a year. Carolyn Colvin is the acting commissioner for the Social Security Administration. She spoke with Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp to talk about the agency's rich history and plans for keeping it vital and the impact Social Security has had.
I lost a 34-year-old son who had four children, and Social Security was there for us. I have a brother who became disabled at a young age, and he's now 67. Social Security has allowed him to live reasonably independent. He has a rep payee. He lives in my mother's home, but other than that, you know, he's pretty independent. And my mom lived to be 89, and even though her wages were low, we knew that we could count on Social Security as a support to help us with the financial costs as she got older until she passed. So for me, it's a very personal thing. It continues to help many of my friends and people that I really love and care about.
So you've seen it from the customer's perspective and from the agency's perspective. And I know customer service is a major focus, always has been, of Social Security. But when you look at the next 80 years, you and others have talked a lot about customer service. Can you tell us a little bit about what customers want from Social Security?
Well, I think that customers want choice. They want timely and quality service. They want to know that when they come to us that they're going to be treated compassionately. And I think that our agency has always been known for providing that kind of service. We do surveys because we want to know what the customer experience is. And I think that we continue to hear receive outstanding reviews. Yet we know that customer preferences are changing and that we need to be able to meet the changing needs of the public. For most people, Social Security is still the face of government in their community. We have about 60,000 permanent employees who are working at over 1,400 offices, including our field offices, our hearing offices, our teleservice centers. Of course, our headquarters is located right here in Baltimore, and we have about 8,000 employees here in different complexes and local offices. And we really are proud to be a part of the Baltimore community, but we're part of all communities throughout the country. The one exciting thing is that many of our services now no longer require a visit to the local field office. I want to emphasize that the field office will always be our primary service delivery mechanism because there are many who really would prefer personal face-to-face services. And this is an earned benefit that's paid into the system, and so we believe that they should have a choice. But for those who prefer to do their business with us in the privacy of their home, we now have many online services, including their ability to apply for retirement, disability, Medicare benefits. Of course, the most exciting one is being able to create a My Social Security account, which is a safe and secure process where they can go and get set up, and then whenever they need to handle business like replacing a Medicare card or reporting a change of address or getting a copy of their statement of earnings or to get a benefit verification letter, they can do all of those things online. So we urge people to go to our socialsecurity.gov site and sign up for My Social Security. I'm so excited that we've now already have more than 20 million people who have signed up. Now, of course, we have 176 million wage earners, so I want many more to sign up. But everywhere I go, I talk about that. We also say if you sign up early, it helps to guard against someone else going into the system and pretending to be you and setting up an account in your name. And so people have been excited. They want to make sure it's secure, and we're doing everything here, Emily, that we can to make sure it is safe and secure.
Your mission certainly has expanded, but Social Security is known as one of these agencies that operates on a shoestring, you know, having to pretty much do a lot more with pretty much the same.
That's true, and we would hope that we could encourage Congress to support the president's budget. We are a very efficient agency. Our overhead is about 1.6% of all of our outlays. I don't know if you're aware of it, but we pay out about $877 billion a year to over 60 million customers. And that requires a lot of work to get those benefits out. We've never missed a payment, but we also have all of the back-end office work to do the kinds of things that we talked about with changing of address and Social Security replacement cards, et cetera. And then the other thing is that even though we're automated, we still have to have human intervention. We have to have someone to actually handle that work once we have the application in. Of course, the adjudication of the hearings and appeals. So we need a much more significant budget, but I am excited that in 13 and 14, Congress did give us an increase in our budget, and I want to thank them so much for that. I'm hoping that they will continue and do that in 2016. If we get the president's budget, we'll be able to continue to build on improving the services and restoring some of the services we lost. Like, as a result of not having an adequate budget, I had to close field offices, had to reduce office hours. We were not able to hire new people. Our program is very complex, and it takes well over a year, 18 months, for individuals to be proficient in handling the workload once we hire them. So we really need to have a sustained and predictable budget. And that's always a challenge for federal government, not just for us.
So what do you do when you see these stories that say that a continuing resolution is likely? Do you read them or do you turn the page?
I know I read them because I've got to be prepared for the worst, but I hope for the best. As I said, I think that we've been able to really convey to Congress that we are a good investment. We are able to demonstrate the return on investment for our program integrity efforts. And I remind them that we are a earned benefit program. Our costs come out of the FICA taxes that individuals pay. So I'm always optimistic. I'm always optimistic that the folks who have to make the decisions will remember that this program touches the lives of their family members as well as their constituents and everyone here in this country.
We're speaking with Carolyn Colvin. She's the Acting Commissioner of the Social Security Administration. One event that you've already done for the 80th anniversary of the agency is to participate in a public policy discussion with former administrators. What did all of the administrators agree on, and where did you disagree?
Well, I don't know that there was really disagreement. We had four former commissioners who came and participated in the policy. It was Gwendolyn King, John Callahan, Kim Apfel, and Joanne Barnhart. Two men, two women. So we wanted to have a very diverse cross-section. And I think that the thing that I enjoyed most was that there was really a lively discussion about Social Security's place in history, about the 80th anniversary, about the legacy of the commissioners, about all of the Social Security reform that has occurred.
So more agreement than disagreement.
Yes.
Certainly one thing I know all of you agree on is that you would like Social Security to have another 80 years at least.
Absolutely. And so there was a lot of discussion about solvency. You know, the president's budget for 2016 proposes, I think, a very responsible plan for temporarily reallocating a portion of payroll taxes going into the Social Security trust funds, as Congress has done many times throughout our 80-year history. And this would ensure that we can continue to pay full benefits until 2034. And so I think that all of the persons who were there agreed with that. I think the disagreement may have been around exactly how to get there. And so we know there's going to be a need for bipartisan agreement for long-term resolution. But we do believe that for short-term resolution, the only thing that we can do at this point is the temporary reallocation, which would be a five-year reallocation of about 0.9% from the retirement fund to the disability fund. An important thing to remember is the worker pays in, and this is the same worker who may need disability, and if he's lucky, will not, and it would be the same worker who then needs retirement. So I think that what Congress has done in the past makes good sense.
And turning back to the present day, are there any other 80th anniversary events that you are particularly looking forward to?
Well, we've had a tree planting already that you may know about, which was our oak tree, which is a sign of stability, et cetera. And we're going to be doing a celebration here on August 14th, where we will be, in fact, celebrating with about 11 former commissioners who are still living. We've invited all of them. We hope they will be able to come. And our various stakeholders from Congress, as well as from our groups like the Advisory Board and some of the other stakeholders. and our staff. As a result of that, we are doing a time capsule with a lot of history of things that are happening now that we hope will be opened for our 100th anniversary. I don't think I can make that one.
Well, what are people putting in it?
They're putting in things about why they serve now. You know, we have a website where employees are going in indicating why they serve. And, you know, they are so passionate about public service. They live in the community, and we've got some great stories. We also are asking individuals to write into a website that talks about what Social Security has personally meant to them. Those are going in. And then, of course, we're having information about the tree planting will go in there and photographs, about the policy discussion and photographs, just a smorgasbord of things. Staff are still compiling that. There's so much excitement here in the building. Everything is red, white, and blue because, you know, we say that Social Security is like apple pie. What are those three things to say? Motherhood, apple pie, and Social Security. I can't remember what they are.
Baseball, maybe.
Oh, baseball. And look, we're going to be going to the baseball game that night. We're having a Social Security night out. We have over 3,000 employees who already have purchased tickets. We're going to have one of the youngsters. We always adopt a school here at Social Security. We're going to have one of the youngsters throw out the first ball. And there's just such excitement. Folks love this program. I think if you talk to employees, that's what you'll see is contagious. They really, really believe in the mission, and even in our most challenging times, they continue to deliver. I have never had the privilege of working with a more dedicated and more compassionate staff, and I've been in government my entire career.